Today is the third Sunday of Lent. Throughout Lent, we are making a journey towards the cross. You might say the cross is making a journey towards us. We're reading through the Gospel of Luke's account of the last hours of Jesus' life. Today, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. Let's listen for God's word to us this morning. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And if you get off on a weird start, I'm going to be starting kind of halfway through verse 6. So let's listen for God's word to us this morning. Pilate asked if whether Jesus was a Galilean. And we learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction. He sent Jesus off to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he'd been wanting to see Jesus for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some kind of sign. He questioned Jesus at some length, but Jesus gave Herod no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod's soldiers treated him with contempt. Then they mocked him. They put an elegant robe on him and they then sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches? For his sins are many. Let's pray. Holy God, before you I lay whatever power I have down. May something of what is said and what is done and what is seen and what is heard here today from this place of me, of this church, be not of me in this church, but of you and your work, the work that you would have us do for you and the work that you have done for us in our lives and in this, your world. In your holy name, we ask this. Amen. The Book of Common Prayer says that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Sometimes I think when people go looking for the power of God in their lives, we almost kind of make it into a superstition, don't we? We think that if we go to church, if we go and be good in the right way, that this will somehow convince God to grant us our wishes and to change all of our cosmic fortunes. But God is not a superstition. Other times when we go looking for the power of God in our lives, we almost make God out as some kind of theory. We think of God as a way of explaining the mysteries of existence, of helping us make sense of how the world works and where the world came from. But God is not science. When it comes to Jesus, if you want to find the power of God, then the best place to look is the place where your own powerlessness begins. In the story that we read just a moment ago, we pick up with Jesus being passed around from powerful person to powerful person as if he were some kind of hot potato. Everyone wants to rid the world of this Jesus, but they're all hesitant to be the one that gets their hands dirty. So first is the Sanhedrin, the religious authorities. They find Jesus guilty, but they can't be the ones to put him to death. So they send him off to Pontius Pilate, who is the civil authority. And Pilate knows a problem when he sees one, but he also knows that it's better to just kind of let someone else take care of a problem if you can. So, what everyone needs in this situation with this hot potato is the perfect patsy. Someone to be left holding it as the fall guy. Someone they could pin this whole thing on. And they find just the right man for the job in one Herod Antipas, who is known as the king of the quarter. So for starters, let's just clear something up. Herod Antipas is not the same Herod as Herod the Great. This is not the same Herod who at the beginning of Jesus' life in the Gospel of Matthew ordered the slaughter of the innocent children in Bethlehem to protect his own greatness from a possible newborn king of the Jews. That Herod, Herod the Great, was a Roman-approved king of all Judea. But he is long gone. In this story, he died many years ago. This Herod that we're talking about today is Herod Antipas. And Herod Antipas was not the king of anything. He was what you call the king of the quarter, which is more like an honorific title. He was like an honorific figurehead of 1/4 of Judea, sort of like a modern royal, like the Duke of Cambridge or the Duchess of York. He doesn't have any real political power, but he has all the glamour and the glory of having your face on a coin. So when Pilate realizes that Jesus is from Galilee, which happens to fall in Herod's quarter of Judea, Pilate gets this really great, fresh idea. He says, I got it. Let's let Antipas make the decision for once. Let's let him worry about this so that we don't have to. This guy is from Herod's jurisdiction. So then surely Herod has heard of this Jesus and he'll know what to do with him. So Pilate sends Jesus off to see Herod, who happens to be back in Jerusalem at the time for the Passover. And it turns out that Pilate's right. Herod has heard of Jesus. And not only has Herod heard of Jesus, Herod is a fan. Luke tells us that when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. He had been wanting to see Jesus for a long time because he had heard all about him, and he was hoping that he could see Jesus perform a miracle. And if you think about it, this is a pretty remarkable detail that Luke is giving to us here, because you see, here in Jerusalem, Jesus is mostly just another crowded face in the streets. He is seen as a troublemaker. Here in Jerusalem, he is seen as a country boy from out of town who's been running his mouth too much in the temple. And so the time has come for somebody to finally shut him up. But back in Galilee, this Jesus has developed quite a reputation. And Herod might not have much political authority, but the one thing Herod is really good at is keeping his finger on the pulse of what's trending back in Galilee. He has been keeping an eye on this Jesus' career since it started to develop. And up until this point, Herod hasn't said much about this in public. But now here in Luke 23, we get a little peek behind the curtain into the personal life from the privacy of Herod's palace. Here is the surprising, maybe even humanizing thing that Herod Antipas reveals with a laugh while he's sitting there on Jimmy Fallon's couch on late night TV. Herod is a big fan of Jesus. It's true. Herod has heard these stories about this Jesus guy for a while, and Herod's just been eating this stuff up. Believe it or not, Herod has a Jesus poster that's hanging on the wall of his office. When Herod is lounging around his house, he wears his favorite t-shirt, which is a Jesus t-shirt that he got custom made and ordered from Etsy. Among his friends, Herod regularly quotes some of the stuff that Jesus said in that awesome sermon he preached on the Mount about what it means to be hashtag blessed. Herod has got a fish bumper sticker on the back of his car. And even every week as Herod goes and runs on his treadmill there in the palace, he listens to a podcast where these two guys back in Galilee in Capernaum named Joe and Doug discuss all the latest theories about the wild things that Jesus has done. About how did he do that thing where he walked on water? How do you think he made that thing happen where he turned water into wine? Up in Jerusalem, people are just now finding out about this Jesus. But Herod was into Jesus before it was cool. Herod might just be one of Jesus' biggest fans. And so now Jesus himself is coming to hang out in Herod's living room. And Herod is psyched. Why wouldn't he be? This is going to be awesome. He's been quietly hoping for some time for this kind of thing. And now look, Herod might not have a lot of political power, but he's still an important person in his own right. He probably could have arranged something like this before now, but he didn't want to intrude on someone that he truly admires. That would be rude. But now, not only is Jesus coming to hang out with them, this Herod is actually in a position of power to help the man, to give him a hand. Jesus seems to have gotten himself into some kind of trouble with Pilate and the Sanhedrin. But these Jerusalem folks don't get it. Just wait until they see what this Jesus can do. Surely they'll become big fans of his as well. And so the doorbell rings, and Herod tries to gather himself and contain his excitement as he opens the door. And the temple guard bring in the Galilean, the man himself in the flesh. And Herod greets him with a smile and with open arms. Jesus, my goodness, it is an honor to finally meet you, he says. I don't know if this is appropriate or not. Can I give you a hug? Believe it or not, I might be your biggest fan, Herod says to him. He takes Jesus all around the suite. He shows him the poster he's got hanging in the office. See, isn't that cool? He runs to his dressing room and he grabs that custom t-shirt that he had ordered off of Etsy. You know that thing he said about blessed is the poor in spirit? I just love that, Herod says to him. He shows Jesus a picture on his phone of the fish bumper sticker sitting on the back of his car. And he starts asking Jesus about all the theories Joe and Doug have been discussing on the latest episode of the Jesus Cast. So I got to ask, Herod says, how exactly did you pull off that water into wine thing? I mean, however you did it, that was incredible. That was impressive. You know what? I've got some water right here. Do you think that, you know, maybe you could do it for me? You know, just one king to another king. No. I mean, I don't want to be pushy. I'm sorry. I don't want to be pushy. But you know that thing, how they say, like, that despite what you think, you never really actually want to meet your idols because it never goes the way that you imagined, and how they'll surely disappoint you. You know how they say that chances are you've probably built somebody up in your mind, right? And they're not actually the person that you think they are. It becomes quickly apparent that something like that is happening here for Herod. As Herod shows him around, this Jesus, he doesn't have much of anything at all to say. He doesn't really do anything either, and he certainly isn't doing anything that Herod is asking him to do for him. Which in the context of things really seems a little bit rude on Jesus' part. I mean, you'd think maybe as a courtesy, an acknowledgement of what Herod in this moment is in a position to do for Jesus, that maybe Jesus would show a little bit of deference. That maybe he'd show a little gratitude and respect. But no, this Jesus, he just sits there. It's almost like he doesn't want Herod's help. It's almost like he doesn't even think Herod actually has the power to help him out. And so then Herod hears the voices of those who have brought Jesus to him. The chief priests and the scribes, they've been over there in the corner screaming about blasphemy and heresy and sedition. And at first, Herod had paid them no mind. After all, unlike those guys have no idea what's trending back in Galilee. But now as he finds the one and only Jesus sitting in his living room, the accusations of those chief priests and the scribes are all starting to sound a bit more reasonable. This Jesus does not seem to be who Herod thought he was. So the mood in the room turns from chummy to mocking. You know what, Jesus? Wait right here, Herod says. I've got the perfect thing for you. He runs back to his dressing room again. He comes back with a purple royal robe. This is one that he used to wear on formal occasions, but he's got a new one now. This is the old one. It's a bit worn out, but he couldn't figure out what to do with it because it'd be a shame to throw something like that out. But now, with this Jesus in his living room, it seems maybe he's found the perfect purpose for it. He says, "Here, fellow king, you shouldn't be dressed in rags. Put this on." So he throws it over Jesus' shoulders and the soldiers march him around the room like a parade. They all start laughing and making jokes. Someone starts a chant, "King of the Jews, King of the Jews, King of the Jews." It's all good fun. Everybody's laughing, particularly Herod. He He makes a joke. He makes a joke because as the visit goes on, this Jesus proves himself to be a joke. The whole thing is a dud. Send him back to Pilate. Why should Herod do anything for Jesus if Jesus isn't going to do anything for him? But of course, what's hard to see for Herod, for anyone in that room, is that at this very moment, Jesus is in fact doing everything for him, for them. It's just that what Jesus was actually doing for Herod is not what Herod was interested in. What Herod was really interested in was power. In the end, what he is interested in is not all that different from what the Sanhedrin or Pilate were interested in. They're all interested in power. It's just that Herod is interested in this power in a different way. He's interested in his own power, just as most anyone would be interested in that. So when Herod sees and hears of a power that is greater than his own, he finds himself impressed by the power of Jesus. And what he wants to do, however he can, is harness it, just as any of us would. This Jesus, they say, he's got the power to do incredible things. What do I have in my power to get him to do those powerful things for me? But the thing is, when it comes to Jesus, the power of God is not superstition. We can't do the right dance or be good in the right way to make God change our cosmic fortunes. And when it comes to Jesus, the power of God is not science. We can't break it down into theories and formulas and harness it with experimental lab results. No, when it comes to Jesus, the power of God is found, as we said a moment ago, in the place where our powerlessness begins. And this, it seems, would be the one thing that Herod wants absolutely nothing to do with: his own powerlessness. What he wants is to use his power to help Jesus, so that then Jesus' power can at least a little bit in some way be owed to him, belong to him. But that is not how the power of God works. It's the other way around. In truth, there is no power in Herod to truly help anyone, including himself. And therefore, whatever power Herod seems to have is owed to and belongs to Jesus. And the same is true for you and for me. So friends, around these parts, we are mighty big fans of Jesus, aren't we? We've got his poster hanging on our wall. We've got his t-shirts. We quote the things he said in that awesome sermon about how we're all hashtag blessed. We like to slap fish stickers on the back of our car. Some of us even like to listen to the podcast while we're running on the treadmill. But we should make no mistake. In the end, all of this is for naught. All of it is in vain if we cannot recognize that there is no power in ourselves to help ourselves. And that whatever power we might seem to have is owed to and belongs only to him. And so my prayer for us on this third Sunday of Lent is that we all might go looking for the power of God in our lives. And my prayer is that we might find it in Jesus, waiting for us in the place where our own powerlessness begins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask this. Amen.